Part 2, Chapter 10, Love, Part 2. We now wish to talk to you about the last step of the sevenfold path, and brotherly affection with love, and once again we glance backwards to recall the essentials of the preceding chapters. Extensively, we discussed which path, the Gnostic light, the power of the immovable kingdom, the non-dialectical magnetic fluid, takes in a pupil open to it. The key to the path is faith, that is to say, the union of the spirit spark atom in the heart with the pure divine light. When this gate has been opened and the new power can enter the system of the pupil and work in him, he is ready for the path of renewal. The first step of the sevenfold path is referred to as supplement faith with virtue. If there really is faith and thus virtue, aptitude, then there is also a readiness to surrender one's own I-central nature, to become less and less according to the I-nature, so that the new light can act undisturbed in the system. When this prerequisite has been met, the candidate can mount the second step and so proceed from virtue to knowledge. This second step points towards an elementary liberation or opening of the head sanctuary for the fire of renewal. The result is that the aptitude obtained reveals itself in knowledge. The foretaste of universal knowledge of the All Revelation becomes a reality on this second step. When the pupil has arrived at this point, a great inner battle develops within, for two natures now operate within him, two powers, the old power and the new one. Now it is a question of whether he will go the path of John, of he, the other one, must increase, but I must decrease, to the end. He must prove that he is serious about the Endurer. That is why, on this third step, he must show self-control, not incidentally, for a while in maximum effort, but fundamentally, and thus, on the fourth step, show a complete steadfastness, a great inner static fidelity to the process of grace, which reveals itself in him. Whoever is capable of this, whoever is found thus faithful, receives godliness on the fifth step. This is the descent of the new Gnostic fluid in the right strand of the sympathicus, so that now the positive foundation can be laid for a second serpent fire. If this fundamental chenier of being does not stagnate, the new fire of the right strand of the sympathicus will push through the plexus sacralis, rise into the left strand of the sympathicus and return to its starting point above the medulla oblongata. When this path has been fully explored and the new magnetic circuit of fire has completely revealed itself and can really circulate through the two strands of the sympathicus, the new serpent fire, the new consciousness, the new I is born, and the sixth step can be ascended, and godliness with brotherly affection. The new consciousness begins to radiate, proves itself just as the old I proved itself before. A new activity, a new action is carried out into the world. It is conspicuously different from all the working and striving for goodness of the old nature. The new action is spontaneous, unforcedly magical. It is able to find, to magnetically attract, and to catch everything as if in a net composed of new magnetic lines of force, everything that is and knows itself to be lost in the darkness of the sea of life. This net is so strong that even if the entire portion of mankind in question were to be caught in it, it would prove strong enough. It would not tear despite the multitude of fish. This is the secret of the bona fide work. When fishing is done with the net of brotherly affection, which came into being on the sixth step, it will stand up to all tempests and invariably, day in, day out, bring glorious catches to the new shores. Thus, working and fishing, the seventh step is mounted, and brotherly affection with love. And we now want to examine what this seventh step means and has to tell us. The second epistle of Peter, from which we quoted the text of the sevenfold path, says in connection with the seventh step, "So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord." This is the crucial point. Bodily participation in the new life, entering, the being definitively taken up in an entirely new state of life. We want to talk to you about this coming new life, for these words regard everybody. When we, by a serious active decision, start forging the key to virtue, to aptitude for the path, we participate in the process which will lead to the new life. When on the first step we bring about the connection with the new magnetic field, the power of dialectical turbulence no longer affects us. Then we have already been taken up into the force field of the new life. And what more could we wish? In these highly eventful days, we not only want to transmit teachings to you, we are not merely furnishing observations on what might one day be possible. We speak about highly important new cosmic powers which must be received by us. The salvation which was once promised to us by the Great Ones can once more prove itself to us in these days. We must therefore seriously ponder the words of the old beautiful hymn, "Oh, how shall I receive thee? And how encounter thee, thou longing of all nations, thou adornment of my soul?" It is not the case that we alone give evidence, and that you merely have to listen. You must cooperate with the spiritual school to erect a great edifice, which we may and can realize, the coming new man. The time is not so far off when the first proofs of this new type of human being will come to light. It will be a human being who will verify the saying, "In this world, but not of it." It will be a multitude that no one can count. It will free itself of all the squabbling and noise of the dialectical nature and enter an imperturbable repose, the repose and the immovability of a new magnetic covenant, the repose of the people of God. Each of them will speak, "This is my rest unto eternity. Here I shall dwell, for it pleases me well." We speak to you so that you too may desire that repose, and understand that this desire need not be mere fantasy, not merely a beautiful dream. It can become reality if only you use all your possibilities and put your hand to the plow in new revolutionary agitation. For the time has come. Which desire is wanted of you? Which desire acts so intensely, liberatingly? It is the desire for liberation, the desire for true healing. Whoever wishes to be cured must first be conscious of being ill, of being fundamentally injured, and of living in a world which offers no rescue and drags us along in endless revolutions of the wheel. Whoever wishes to be cured must be prepared to remove the cause of all suffering, namely, his delusion, his I passion, his passion to exist, in short, himself. This is desire for liberation. Whoever longs in this way, free of the powerful grip of delusion, is led towards the dawn of attainment, to a new day, to the inviolable repose of the coming new man. He will proceed on the sevenfold path, in the way described to you in detail, the path of those twice born, the path of transfiguration. Whoever wants to lose himself will discover this path and ultimately, on the seventh step, find the entrance to the new realm open to him. As we already said, this entrance is opened by the development of the new magnetic circuit in the sympathicus, by the birth of the second serpent fire, the new eye. This new magnetic circle, this new eye, constructs a completely new personality. If you can imagine the new microcosm as a ball, then it is at the heart of the micros that the old temple is systematically demolished and an entirely new one erected. We will try to explain how this is possible. You know that the nervous sympathicus consists of two strands situated on either side of the spine. In many places, these strands are interrupted by nerve nodes or ganglia. Such a nerve node or ganglion is a grayish-red, round, flat thickening in the nerve strand, consisting of cells of a typical construction located between the nerves or in the nerve thread. Two important qualities of these ganglia of the sympathicus should be noted. Nerves also branch out from the ordinary spinal column. One speaks of the front branch and of the rear branch of the nerves of the spinal marrow. The ganglia of the sympathicus are directly connected to the front branch of the corresponding nerves of the spinal cord. Moreover, these ganglia of the sympathicus possess a number of nerve plexi, which are the nerve branches, running along the main arteries to nearly all the organs, and which control the movements of the heart and of the whole vascular system. If you are able to imagine this, you will be able to draw some conclusions. And these will be all the more valuable if you have some elementary knowledge of the anatomy of the human body. When a pupil of the fifth step receives godliness, that is, when the new magnetic circuit begins in the sympathicus, and this pupil remains resolute in his self-annihilation, then the nerve fluid of the old nature ensures a general biological balance in the old building of the body by means of the rear branches of the spinal marrow nerves. The nerve streams of the old nature, however, which were formerly conducted into the entire body along the front branches, will be severed by the ganglia of the sympathicus, and a new nerve stream, that of the second serpent fire, takes over the task from the old nature. The result is that the blood changes, as does the nervous fluid. The working of all the sanctuaries and of the whole endocrine system is altered, so a totally different system of lines of force is formed, outwardly in the form of the ordinary personality, but irradiated and inflamed with totally different life currents which stem from the new source of consciousness in the sympathicus. A new temple arises, and a threefold temple by way of consciousness, soul and body, a physical body not in the crude appearance of dialectical nature, but in the refined form of a new nature. This refined personality does not possess the structure of a reflection sphere entity, for this latter resides in the remains of the old shattered dialectical personality whose physical body has been totally destroyed. No, the brother and sister of the seventh step possess a glorified new total personality, including a physical bodily form. For the ordinary person, this form is visible only when it manifests itself in connection with the old nature, but as soon as the old form of nature need no longer be maintained, the new form of nature leaves its place of birth for the sun-drenched realm of eternity. In the third part of this work, we will describe in detail the nature and qualities of this new form of nature, as well as the manner in which it will free itself from the swaddling clothes of birth and thus rise from the grave. In the Bible, we are told that the crucified body of Jesus the Lord was laid to rest in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. This Joseph of Arimathea is the Hierophant of the New Mysteries, and the tomb resembles that of Christian Rosicross in which the new imperishable body is found. Our praying thoughts are that all who go the path may complete their golden via crucis and arise from the grave of victory, reborn and strong, to a new and sanctified life, the sanctified life of the coming new man. Now you know how you can proceed from brotherly affection to love and merge with love. It is the love which is called God, Spirit, and Light. And now you will understand as Paul understood, if you had everything and had not that love, that new state of being, you would have and be nothing. For this love which is God, this eagle's flight of the Spirit, is the ultimate goal, the great and wonderful goal for all who in this epoch are called to the light. With this love, it is not a matter of words or a tender disposition, but of a redeeming, liberating deed of mankind. And let this action, for which even the weakest amongst us is chosen, be your beginning and your end, your entire life, till the day of your perfection. Enter with us the joy of new knowledge. Celebrate with us the feast of the coming new man.